chapter 6.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful song. I think everybody would agree. So grateful for Christ going to the cross. Because of Him, we're able to be forgiven, redeemed, reconciled to God. We're grateful for that. Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk today a little bit about prayer. And I want to talk about the spirit of prayer. How should we come before the Lord? How should we come before God when we come to pray? So I'm just going to start off by reading here in chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 5 through 8. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you that we have life. Thank you that we have the opportunity to gather before you. We get to gather together and read your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you would help us to grow, and we want to get closer to you. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins, which is in the blood that you shed. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to meet together. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the ability to understand your word and to do your will. Lord Jesus, if there's somebody here today that's not saved and they need to know you, I pray, Lord, that you'd open their eyes and that you'd save them, rescue them. Lord, give them forgiveness of sins also. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about the spirit of prayer. Because obviously, that the way you approach prayer, the way you come to God actually matters, right? Jesus here says, don't be like them. He says, don't do it that way. He says, there's a way to pray that is correct and there's a way to pray that's not correct. The spirit with which you pray matters. How you come to God in prayer does matter. Basically, we need to understand that prayer is communicating with God. It's where we're talking to God, and the kind of spirit that you come before God with, right, the type of attitude or character that you bring should be different than what Christ points out here. Prayer is an actual communication with God. It's where you're actually having fellowship with God. And so it's not just some abstract thing. It's something that's real. It should be intimate. It should be true. It's relational. Some people say, well, how can God hear millions of people? You know, it's something that some people maybe want to make light of or fun of. But I think even modern technology, gives us at least, an easier way to imagine that it is possible for God to hear everybody. I mean, even those phones that you have, you know that they're hearing you. They're listening to what you're saying. You can start having a conversation about scooters, and then all of a sudden in your feed, and there's going to be ads saying, hey, buy this scooter and purchase a scooter, because those phones are listening to what you're saying. Lena even thinks that the phones can read our minds. I think she goes a little far on that, but I mean, we see technology, I mean, even has that, you know, we can imagine, hey, God can actually hear everything, everybody, at all times. It's not hard for Him. He created us. He can do these things. And so it's interesting, if technology can track those words, God can also hear us. And God really hears. He really hears what we say. He really knows what we're going through. He understands what we're going through. And He's present there. And so prayers aren't just words that are disappearing into the air. God is actually listening. And He is conscious about what you're going through. Prayer is not confined to a space or a place or a type of pattern that you go through or a posture. You can as a believer, you can pray wherever you are. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray. Don't close your eyes while you're doing that. But you can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're washing dishes. You can pray while you're doing all kinds of other things. You can pray throughout the day. It does say that we should pray without ceasing. So prayer is something that you can have a continual communion that you have with God and you can talk to Him. But I think there's also a place for an intentional time where you should seek God. Right? I think you should set aside time, even though you can pray anywhere at any time, you should set aside a time to actually draw close to God. That would be important. Jesus did this many times. He would depart to a place where He was alone and pray. He would pray for all night long sometimes. Jesus showed it was important. I think it should be important for us also. Not just an all the time praying and talking to God, but what about actually taking some time away separately, alone, to actually take some time to commune with God. So yes, there should be that. But whether it's a continual just communion fellowship or where you're talking to God or it's a private devotion, I think prayer should have a certain spirit to it. In other words, you should have a certain spirit when you come to God in prayer. And that's what I want to talk on. Prayer isn't just about repeating certain words or using the right words or talking the right way. It's about having a right heart before God and coming to Him expressing what you're saying. It's interesting to me how here He says, but when ye pray in verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. And the very next couple of verses, people use that as a vain repetition to pray to God. When Jesus just said, it's not about this vain repetition. It's not about just repeating words. It's about something different. And He says, don't be like that. And yet, people are confused, I think, when it comes to prayer. Prayer isn't just about repeating words. God's interested in the spirit that we have behind them. And spirit of the prayer matters. So, Jesus says things like, when you pray, don't do it this way. He says, when you pray, you need to be aware of God, not aware of people. A lot of people, you know, a lot of times we're very aware that there's people around when we're praying. And so that might make us pray a little different. Or maybe you intentionally are praying more, you know, in a specific way because other people are around. You should care more that God is around than that other people are around. That should affect you more. You should actually be considering what God is thinking. And so our spirit in prayer, I believe, is shaped by our awareness of God. Awareness of God. I think what he talks about here is people were thinking about others, but they weren't thinking about God. They weren't thinking about what God sees and what God knows. And they weren't thinking about who God was. And if they would have known that, they would have prayed differently. Our spirit in prayer is shaped by our awareness of who God is. And so the more aware we are of who God is, that means the more our spirit in prayer is going to align with God. Amen. And that's what we want. I think that's the goal in prayer. We want to align ourselves with God. And so the way we should have the right spirit with God in prayer is we need to be more aware of who He is. The more aware of who God is, then you can be in the right spirit when it comes to prayer. And I think just the foundational awareness, just to start off is that no sinner has real access to God apart from Jesus Christ. True. This is really important. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. You cannot come to God through any other besides Jesus Christ. It says that for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The Bible says that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that you have access to God. God, you could not get closer to God if you didn't have Jesus Christ. the only reason that you can draw near, the only reason that you can have mercy shed upon you and you can commune with God, it's because of Jesus Christ. He opened the way for us. And so, the veil was torn, the barrier's gone, apart from Christ, you're gonna be distant from God. Because He's a judge and He's gonna have to condemn because He's just. But in Christ, you're invited to receive forgiveness. And so, we don't approach God through our good works. We don't approach God because we are worthy of it. We don't approach God, and we can't approach God through any other mediator or somebody else doing it for us. The Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So this is an essential thing to be aware of. Jesus is the only way that you can have access to God. It's because of Jesus. And so we start there. Jesus is the first thing we need to be aware of is that we get to God, our prayers come to God, and it has to be through Jesus Christ. Because aside from Him, there is no access to God. So, our spirit in prayer is shaped by our awareness of who God is. I want to start off with, we come before God, we should be aware of who He is. Jesus says here in verse 9, He says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He recognized who God is. He says, our Father, right? And that gives some closeness. That's relational. He talks about where God is in heaven. He says, hallowed be thy name. He recognizes who God is. And the strong sense of worthiness that God has of our praise, of our respect, of our honor, which should be given to God. We should recognize Him for who He is. I think it's incredible that in Jesus we can many times come to God in prayer, and two opposite truths that seem like they couldn't exist are able to come together when we come to prayer. And what I'm saying by that is things like when believers come to God, we can have a certain awe and respect, even a fear of God. And at the same time, we can have comfort in God. I mean, isn't that strange? You can come to God in prayer, and the spirit that you're supposed to be in is one of awe, is one of trembling, of fear. You are in the presence of God. This is your Creator. And yet, at the same time, you can just be full of comfort and peace while you're before God. That's interesting. That only happens because of Jesus Christ. You can be full of reverence towards God, and yet, you know, you can have that closeness. You can be full of humility, and yet at the same time have boldness before God. Isn't this interesting how that works? But the Christian doesn't approach God only with terror, right? He also is able to come with comfort. And so it's interesting how that works. But all that comes because of the awareness we have of God. So I want to mention a couple. In order for us to have the right spirit when we come before God in prayer, we need to be aware of God, and that will give us the correct spirit. So the awareness of God's greatness is going to produce reverence. The awareness of God's greatness and who He is should produce reverence when we come to Him in prayer. Look at what it says in Psalm 95:6. Psalm 95, I'll read a couple of Psalms here, but Psalm 95, verse 6. I think this is a good one to think about. What kind of spirit we come when we come before God? Psalm 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." And then Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You see, whenever we come before God, He is holy. We come before God, He is our Creator. He's the one that makes us, right? And we should worship and bow down before Him. You know, if you don't take the time, you should. You should start taking the time just to separate yourself and say, you know what? Right now I'm just going to bow down before God and worship Him. He deserves it. And you should be aware of who He is, so much so that it produces a spirit of reverence in you. And so we should. We should know who God is. We should be aware of who God is. And that should give us the correct spirit when we come to Him in prayer. Our God, says the Bible, is a consuming fire. And if you're not in awe of Him, if you're not like, wow, who God is, then you're missing something. You're not sufficiently aware of who He is. Prayer is approaching the actual living God. Reverence begins when we recognize God's greatness. We need to recognize the greatness of God so that it'll produce reverence in the way we approach Him.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, and like I said, it's really interesting how it works, because we do want to be reverent, but at the same time we don't want to feel like He's so, it's all reverence and He's just separated from us and we can't even approach Him. There has to be closeness because of the relational things that Christ has done for us. He's made us His children, and that produces closeness. You can come to Him like your father. You can come to Him and you can talk to Him. You can be with Him. You can spend time with Him. He's your friend. And yet at the same time, He is God, your creator. He is a great king, says Malachi.
Amen.
And so at the same time, we have to recognize that. But it can all come together whenever you're aware of who God is. And in our spirit of prayer, when we come to God in prayer, we should recognize these things. We should recognize His greatness. We should recognize what He's done for us in getting us and drawing us close to Him. You know, we should be aware of God's holiness. And when we're aware of God's holiness, that should produce humility.
Amen.
And we need humility when we come to God in prayer. One thing's for sure, that God resists the proud. And if God resists the proud, you don't want to come to God in prayer with a spirit of pride. Now, whenever you do that, it's because you are overlooking how holy God is. If there's an ounce of pride in you when you come to God, you are overlooking how holy and good and merciful God is. Because when you see how holy He is, you recognize how full of sin you are. It's an inward awareness. You're aware that He's holy, that He's above us, that He's a judge, that He's not like us. Like it says in Isaiah, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You have angels singing around the throne. They're saying, holy, holy, holy. That's how they see Him. And when we come as creatures before the Creator. We come as servants before the Lord. We come as sinners before a holy one. And therefore, we have no right to come with a spirit of pride. We think about Luke chapter 18, the man that was saying, thank you, Lord, I'm not like all these other people. He had some pride issues. Oh, but what about the other guy? He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm a sinner. I know You're holy, Lord. I know the only reason I'm alive is because of Your mercy.
Amen.
And you can come with humility. Come in humility, no matter whether you come to God, right? Whether you're doing it while you're driving, while you're working, if you're in prayer, no matter where you are, you should still have this right spirit when you come to God in prayer. Think about Daniel when he prayed. Daniel 9, verse 4 and 6, 4 and 5, it says this, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. This is Daniel. I don't think we ever see anything negatively said about Daniel in the Bible. And yet he says, I made my confession. I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. He said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Do we realize how much of a sinner we are? You realize how much of a sinner you are when you come before God? You should. You should be aware of His holiness.
Amen.
And I think we probably break the greatest commandment that God gave every day. And it might not even faze us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul. You do that? You do that every day? I think we're great sinners and we might just not realize how bad we are. And we don't even think about it. We come to God as if it's nothing. Oh, of course, God, I can talk to you. You realize how much mercy it takes for God to be able to listen to you? He's holy. And you're a sinner.
Amen.
When we come to Christ in prayer, we should come humbly. Because the more clearly we see God, the less casual we see our sin.
Amen.
When we're looking at God, if we're actually looking at God and recognizing who God is, we see our sin as something very wrong. But if we're not aware of God, if we're not thinking about God, just think about it. When you're in sin, it's because of a reason. It's because you're not thinking about God. It's because you're putting God to the side. And if there's any spirit that's telling you, hey, this is wrong, you're not doing right, you're pushing it to the side and you're saying, I don't care right now, I want to do what I want to do. You're pushing God aside. And when you come to God before Him in prayer, you need to realize, man, God is holy. Amen. And I'm not worthy and I'm a sinner.
Amen.
And it should produce a spirit of humility.
Amen.
The right spirit in prayer should be a spirit of humility. As Isaiah said after they said, holy, 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 he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Pride will weaken our prayer. And we shouldn't approach God while we're boasting in ourselves. The truth is, when we come to God, we should be humble and we should confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, the whole thing is that whenever you come before God, you're humble because you're not the faithful one. You're not the one that deserves it. You're not the one that's made this possible. It's Jesus Christ that gives you access to God, and you need to be humble when you come before Him. And so, the correct awareness of God and His holiness will make us humble when we come before Him. And the awareness of God's grace will give us boldness when we come before Him.
Amen.
And that's the incredible thing about what Jesus has done in our life, is that you can come to God while at the same time recognizing His holiness, and you can be humbled by it. You can come boldly before Him because of the grace that He has towards you.
Amen.
Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 10:19. You can come before God and you can be bold. Even though you're a sinner, even though you recognize the sin you're in, you can be humble about it, and yet you can come. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews, while we're there, we can go to chapter 4. We know this one well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see this boldness? This is not confidence in ourselves. It's not confidence in what we've done. We don't even think, oh Lord, you see I've gotten right. You see how many years I've stopped doing this. You see how much better I am now. No, our confidence, our boldness when we come before God is because of the grace He has had with us.
Amen.
It's because He hasn't given us according to our deeds. It's because He's given us bountifully, even though we don't deserve it.
Amen.
That's what produces the boldness where we come before God. Grace gives us access. And wow, we should be aware of that when we come before God. The awareness of God's goodness should produce thankfulness. So again, I'm just thinking about the spirit that we ought to have when we come to God in prayer. And this should be just a thing of our life as a Christian. It should be filled with prayer. You should be praying all the time, and you want to come before God with the correct spirit. And so how do you get the correct spirit when you come before God? Well, you need to be aware of who He is. And the more aware of who He is, the more aligned your spirit can be with His will. And so, there's so many things. It's like, it doesn't end. In fact, this is why we gather together. This is why we keep reading. Because your awareness of God can keep growing and growing and growing. And that means the spirit with which you come before God can keep getting better and better and better. It's like never ending. But the awareness of God's goodness can produce thankfulness. You know, we need to have a spirit of thankfulness when we come before God.
Amen.
Oh man, we should be thankful. We should be singing these songs. We should be singing these songs of praise. And while we're praying, we should be thankful. We should be so thankful for God that He knows it.
Amen.
God, many times, so many times, one of His rebukes is they were unthankful.
Amen.
Unthankful. And that's like right beside, you know, murderers and violent and all these other things that He's talking about. He says, oh, they were unthankful. But whenever we're aware of God's goodness, that produces thankfulness. Psalm 107:8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He repeats that many times. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we come before God, we can come with Him with a spirit of thanksgiving, spirit of thankfulness, spirit of gratitude, right? Again, prayer can be difficult because sometimes we think it's about us and we can get so caught up in us that we're thinking we want something or we need something, and we're so caught up that we're not seeing what God has already given us. We're only there. God isn't some genie in a bottle where we're just rubbing it to ask for what we want. We should come to God in prayer recognizing that He's already given us so many good things. We have so much to be thankful for already. We already do. And so we can be aware of His goodness, and we can in everything give thanks when we come before Him. That is the spirit in which we should come before God. How about awareness of God's love? You know, that can produce trust. The awareness of God's love can produce trust when you come before God in prayer. You ever find it hard when you're praying, hard to trust? You know, that usually happens in hard situations. And it's hard to trust sometimes. You're thinking, wow, Lord, I'm going through a lot. And you're praying, and it's hard for you to trust. It's hard for you to have confidence in everything that's going on and the confidence that you can have. But if we had more awareness of the love of God, we could have stronger trust when we pray. Stronger trust, stronger faith. You know, Romans 8:32. You should go there. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Listen to this. How about this for coming to God with trust and being able to trust in Him whenever you're praying? It says in verse 32 of Romans chapter 8, He that spared not His own Son. That's Jesus. He did that. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Basically saying, listen, God isn't just holding back on you. It's not like God just has evil intentions and He just wants to hurt you and He's just against you. No, God is not against you. God is for us. And He says, listen, if He was willing to give His only Son on the cross and He died for you, how can you be in doubt that He wouldn't with it give you everything? He desires to give you everything. I'll guarantee you though, you're not ready for everything. I'm not ready to get everything. I'm not ready to get everything I ask for or everything I want. I'm definitely not prepared for that. Maybe God needs to prepare us for some things. And that's why you don't have everything you want, maybe. Maybe that's not why you don't have everything You can imagine right now, God might need to prepare you for some things. But nothing should cause you to distrust in God. Because you already know that if He was willing to give you His only Son, He's got your best interest in mind. He is for you. He is for you. And that's what you can trust in. If Christ be for us, who can be against us? How do you know Christ? How do you know He's for you? Well, because He gave you His only Son.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we can have confidence whenever we come before God, and we can have trust in Him because He didn't even spare His own Son. We know that God is for us. And we can trust Him. We can cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And we can come with a spirit of trust. We can trust in God. We can trust in Christ when we come before Him. And trust grows whenever we're remembering God's love. That's why we need to have this awareness of God's love. We don't pray trying to get God to prove His love for us, or trying to get God to prove something to us. We already know God cares for us. We already know He is for us. And so that's what produces trust when we come to pray. We can come to pray with confidence and with trust because we're aware already. We are already aware of His love for us. And that's how awareness will affect our prayer. Awareness of God's faithfulness can produce confidence. So we're aware of God's love. We're also aware of God's faithfulness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. You see, there's so much faithfulness in God that whenever we come to Him, we can come with confidence. God is faithful. That's what Lamentations says. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And so, He abides faithful, and that's why we can come with confidence with God. Whenever we come to Him, the spirit that we can have is a spirit of confidence in Christ. His character doesn't change. He is stable, and we can have that as a guarantee. Even though we are fluctuating in emotion and through everything else, we know who Christ is. We know God, and He is faithful, and so we can have confidence in Him. And like I said, there's a lot of these. We could just keep on growing. We can keep on being more aware of who God is, and that's going to give us a better sense of how we pray.
Amen.
Right? If we're not aware of who God is, we're going to make mistakes when we pray.
Amen.
Like the one we see Jesus talking about here in Matthew chapter 6. So the last one I want to really touch on is awareness of God's knowledge. We need to be aware of God's knowledge, that we know what God knows. And that should produce sincerity in our prayer. You realize God knows everything.
Amen.
Right? And so, if God already knows us, God knows us completely, why would we put on a show? Why are we being insincere when we come before God, when we're praying? Why are we pretending? You see, that's the thing is, whenever we come before God, we should know something. We should already be aware. He has knowledge of everything. The Bible says, "Thou, Lord, hast searched me and you know me. O Lord, thou knowest me." He says, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All things. He sees everything. He knows you.
Yes, sir.
And so what does Psalm 51:6 says? It says, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God just wants you to be real. When you come before God in prayer, this is what He's seeking. He's seeking for you to be real. Be real. Don't be dishonest. And that's why in Matthew chapter 6, we see that the Pharisees are praying. They're praying and they're pretending like they're something they're not. And on all these things. And He says, God knows. God knows all things. Stop pretending. Stop trying to get favor of people. Jesus says, look, whenever you do that, your reward is whatever they give you. You want the acknowledgement, you want the recognition of people that you're really good at praying? Well, there you go. That's your reward. God knows all things. You can go into your closet and close your door and nobody else can ever hear you or what you said, but God knows and hears.
Amen.
God knows your sin. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you've done. And so why are we going to pretend like we're more worthy than we are? Why are we going to put on a show and we do that? For some reason, we automatically kind of want to do that. But when you come to God in prayer, you need to forget that.
Yeah.
You need to forget about putting on a show or pretending like you're somebody you're not. You need to be real with God.
Amen.
And God wants you to come in sincerity.
Thank you, Lord.
Be sincere with Him. God already knows you. Prayer shouldn't be a performance. God desires you to be truthful with Him. And sincerity is just being that, being real with God. It's not about being eloquent. You know, not everybody can speak really well. Not everybody has, you know, the way with words. And you don't have to before God. God isn't expecting you to repeat everything and say it perfectly and He's not correcting your grammar, I don't think. But He wants you to be real. That's what He truly wants. He wants you to come in a real spirit of prayer where you are aware of Him and who He is, of His greatness, of His love, of all these other characteristics. You know who He is. You're aware of who He is. And you're aware that He knows all things. And He knows you. He says in Matthew 6 where we were, He says, "Don't be like them, for your Father knoweth that things that ye have need of before you even ask." He knows you. He knows everything you're going through. He knows what you even need. He knows it all. But He does want you to be sincere. He wants you to come in sincerity with Him. He wants you to come for real. So you're not just praying to check off a checklist in the morning. Oh, I did that. No, it's about sincerity. You come to God sincerely wanting communion with Him, sincerely wanting to talk with Him, to fellowship with Him, to converse with Him. It's a real relationship that He wants you to have with Him. And that's the most incredible part, is that we get to have a relationship with the Creator.
Wow.
He's the King, and yet He's our friend. He's the Creator. He's our Father. He's our brother. It's just like there's so many things that you think they're just opposite. And yet, here we are. God, Jesus Christ, He's made it possible to where all these things that you're supposed to have fear and awe and reverence of God, you can at least at the same time have boldness. You can have humility, and yet you can come to Him freely. Man, it's an amazing thing. What you can do when you're aware of who God is and the spirit that it produces when you go to pray. And that was something I was thinking about this week. The way we need to come to God in prayer. Because interesting enough, you can do it wrong. Jesus says, don't do it this way. Don't be like them. Don't do it like that. He wants you to have the right spirit in prayer. And that begins with the awareness of who He is. So that's an encouragement for us to continue reading our Bible. For us to continue gathering together. So somebody can say, hey, you know what I found out about God? I found out that God is good all the time. And you know what? We can be thankful. We can come to Him with a spirit of thankfulness.
Amen.
And you can hear somebody else say, you know what I found out? And they can tell you what they found out about God. And it's good for us to get together so that we can hear more about God, be more aware of God, and come with the right spirit when we come before God in prayer. We know God is faithful. And that's why we come to Him and we can trust Him. You know the power of God? Boy, I tell you what, if you know the power of God, you're aware of the power of God, you can come with more faith. And you can pray to God with more faith because you're aware of His power. The list keeps going. So let's keep reading. Let's keep studying. Let's keep gathering. Because we can continue to grow especially in our communion with God and our communication with Him in a spirit of prayer. It's a blessing to do. And so let's continue to be aware of who God is, of who He is, and that will give us a right a spirit whenever we come to Him. So that's why the more aware we are of who God is, the more our spirit in prayer will align with Him. And it'll be right. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer and be dismissed.